Mantra, Sacred Words of Power, Session 8, The Masculine Principle in Mantra Practice.
In the masculine trinity, two of the three aspects are represented as creation with a form, and the third is not. Brahma, we have already talked about, the creative principle of this universe, and his form is essentially the entire universe as we know it. Vishnu, the protective principle. We've discussed the avatars of Vishnu and how they have come time after time over thousands of years to bail us out, and how other emanations of Vishnu appear as spiritual teachers to help our evolution individually. Shiva, however, is the one aspect of the Trinity that does not appear in a form. He is sometimes called the Great Destroyer, and in a bit we shall see that that is really a misnomer. But let's talk about a story that appears in one class of the ancient texts known as the Puranas, about how Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva all meet. Shortly after the creation of the universe, Brahma and Vishnu are traveling around the universe, and they see a pillar of light off in the distance. Naturally, they go to investigate. When they arrive, they find that the column of light stretches away both above and below with no visible end in sight. What a mystery. They discuss among themselves and finally decide that each of them will take a direction and pursue it to the end, and then they will come back after some time and report to one another and compare notes. So saying, they take off. Well, Vishnu travels and travels and travels and travels and travels, and he finds no end to it at all. Finally, he wearies of it, and he says, well, I'll just go back and report. So he returns to the starting point, and after a bit, Brahma comes, and Vishnu said, I couldn't find the end of it anywhere. Brahma said, oh, yes, I found the end. It does have an end. Whereupon, the pillar of light turned into a form. Blue figure, matted locks, crescent moon on the forehead. And he looks at Brahma and he says, I am Shiva, and I tell you that you have lied. I have no beginning, middle, or end. This column is infinite in either direction. You lied because you have an ego. That which creates has an ego. You have your place in the universe, but because you have lied, you will not be observed in any of the sacred rituals in the time that will follow. Now, those of you out there who are familiar with the Vedic rituals will know you won't find any ceremonies to Brahma anywhere. You'll find them to all the other masculine and feminine deities, but you won't find any ceremonies performed to Brahma. There's only two or three mantras, and they are very powerful, but they are not even often taught. And this story explains how that came about in a myth form. Let's look how Shiva is represented in this story as the pillar of light. He is infinite consciousness. Esoterically speaking, the pillar of light is the stream of conscious energy that is in the spine of you and me. That energy travels from the base of the spine to the top of the spine, where we achieve ever-increasing levels of consciousness. And finally, at the top of our head, that energy of our individual consciousness merges with the great consciousness of the universe itself. So Shiva is the consciousness within us at varying levels, and also the consciousness of the entire universe. Now, Shiva is often portrayed as the great destroyer. You hear Brahma creation, Vishnu preservation, Shiva destruction. This is not entirely accurate. It would be more truthful to say that Shiva is the great spiritualizer. The great spiritualizer. As we grow in consciousness and evolve, so the universe also in its own way grows and evolves. It attains more and more consciousness as an organic whole unto itself. Let's think of the phenomenon we know as water. When water is ice, it has a solid form. As it begins to melt, the ice is destroyed. The reason it is destroyed is that the form of the ice cannot contain the heat that it is absorbing. So it melts. At an objective level, the ice is completely destroyed. But of course it is not. It has only changed its state. If we continue to apply even more heat, then the water itself turns into steam and appears to dissipate, and the water is destroyed. That is also a misnomer. The water is not destroyed. The molecules are still there. They have merely changed their state now from a liquid to a gas. Similarly, the form of the universe can only hold so much consciousness. Ultimately, everything becomes so conscious that it evolves past the ability of the form to hold the extent of the consciousness. When this happens, the universe undergoes a change of state to a higher level. At the apparent level, the entire universe is destroyed. But this is not true. It has evolved to a higher spiritual level and a different vibration. It is the same with you and me. As the energy travels up the spine, we achieve ever-increasing levels of consciousness, of understanding, so that we, like the steam, seem to evaporate and, to the phenomenal world, disappear. So when you think of Shiva, don't think of Shiva as the great destroyer. That's such a negative image. Think of Shiva as the great spiritualizer, that consciousness which is bringing you farther and farther on your own individual path of evolution. Now let's explore Shiva in a little more detail. You know, it's a truism that every tradition thinks of its philosophy as the superior one. Whether it's one of the great religions, one of the Buddhist sects, one of the various branches of Hinduism, one will always find references to its practices and teachings as being superior to all others. Shaktas say those who worship the Kundalini, the divine feminine principle, will say that it is the be-all and end-all. And of course, they are right. Those who follow the path of the Brahmarishis will tell you that to be in union with Brahma, to reach the highest state of identification with this universe, is the highest possible attainment. And of course they are correct. Followers of Vishnu say, well, without Vishnu we would never have made it through to maturity as a species. That is also correct. So it should come as no surprise that it is no different with those who follow the path of Shiva. They state that as the pinnacle of consciousness, as the principle of conscious evolution, there can be nothing higher than Shiva. And they are, of course, exactly correct. Shiva is primordial existence, both potential and kinetic. Those who follow Shiva in an intellectual way will tell you that Sada Shiva, another name of Shiva, is that principle in waiting which is the source and substance of all. And they will tell you that Shakti, the great feminine, is part of Shiva. They're entirely consistent in this because one of the great disciplines of followers of Shiva in northern India is a feminine sounding mantra. They say this is the Shakti of Shiva. The mantra is this. Reem Shreem Kleem Parameshwari Swaha. Reem Shreem Kleem Parameshwari Swaha. Reem Shreem Kleem Parameshwari Swaha. And they will say that this mantra will produce an evolution in consciousness. Reem is the seed sound, you'll recall, for dissolving the appearance of this apparent reality. Shreem, the principle of abundance. Kleem, the attractive principle. Parameshwari means the feminine aspect of the supreme masculine. It's merely a change of a letter. The supreme masculine principle is Parameshwara. Para means supreme. Parameshwara. And they're saying the way to achieve Parameshwara is by chanting this mantra with the power of Shiva, Parameshwari. Hrim Shrim Kleem Parameshwari Swaha. So if you want to begin your conscious evolution, here is a mantra that you can begin with. And through the rest of this discussion on Shiva, I'll give a variety of mantras that you can use. Shiva as such is really not mentioned in the Vedas. There is another term used which is synonymous with Shiva called Rudra. Rudra, or he who dries up the sorrows. In another context, Rudra is called the howler, because he knows both the separation from the divine and the union with it, and understanding both, he howls for union. In a much later scripture, the Shiva Purana, it is written that Shiva has five functions. One, he creates the universe. As such, the followers of Shiva say that he employs Brahma in consciousness as the creative principle. They would say that consciousness manifesting as Vishnu preserves the universe. And then he destroys the universe by elevating its consciousness. These we are familiar with, but there are two more. One, he is the embodiment of consciousness, which means you and me, that principle of consciousness can have a body. And finally, number five, that our consciousness can evolve so far that the consciousness itself can evolve beyond the needed limits of our body and achieve emancipation or release, or that which we have referred to earlier as mukti, or liberation. The qualities of consciousness are manifold, endless really, but some great names of Shiva have appeared that represent certain aspects of consciousness. Let's go through them one by one, and then talk about mantras associated with some of the various aspects of Shiva. One is Rudra. Rudra, who dwells in the mountains. We talked about Rudra just a second ago. It's important to note at the beginning that the idea of consciousness is not limited to beings who are what we call good. We know that thieves and robbers have consciousness, otherwise they wouldn't be able to perform their tasks. We hear myths and stories of ghosts and demons who also have a consciousness. In the Vedic lore, you will find that those on the good side of human affairs, celestial affairs, and those on the evil or bad side of celestial affairs, both worship Shiva. Both worship consciousness. Both want to expand their own consciousness. It has no bearing on whether one is good or one is evil. We all want to be more of what we are. We want to have more consciousness. In the spiritual book called the Ramayana that we talked about earlier, there's a wonderful scene when Rama and Sita are finally married. As the wedding procession is going through the streets of the town, there are various members of the wedding party in the entourage. So you have sages and saints and celestials and angels and all kinds of wonderful things. And then here comes Rudra. And he is accompanied by ghosts and demons and goblins and terrible-looking apparitions. Because he honors not only sages, but also the consciousness of the lower realms, he may have frightened everyone in the wedding party, but he's demonstrating that consciousness is completely impartial to the ideas of good, bad, above, below. What is conscious. Morality, as we understand it, is quite another thing. The mantra for this aspect is Om Rudraya Namaha. Om Rudraya Namaha. Om Rudraya Namaha. So if you want to chant the most ancient fundamental mantra for Shiva, this is it. Describing Rudra in that way, you might say, why in the world would I want to do that mantra? The answer is that all of us have within us places where we are not so wonderful. Mostly they evade our conscious mind and are hidden in pockets of the subconscious mind. But if you want to bring in all parts of yourself and make everything conscious and unify yourself through consciousness, this mantra will do that. And so in that sense, it is a wonderful mantra of transformation by bringing to your own conscious mind aspects of yourself that may have been hidden so that you can welcome them into the consciousness of your own being. Om Rudraya Namaha. Om Rudraya Namaha. And we all know from psychology that part of growth is to confront aspects of ourself which we may view as negative and to transform them. In a spiritual sense, this mantra will help us do that. Next we have Ashupati, master of the animal world. Historically, there were a small band of people who lived in the foothills of the Himalayas, and they needed protection from some of the animals who roamed the area and threatened their existence. So they approached one aspect of the total consciousness of everything with the idea of a principle of consciousness which would be Lord of Animals. This is the meaning of Pashupati, Pashupati. And it's interesting that the Egyptians also said to have had control of lions and control them with their consciousness, control them with their mind. So in the Himalayan dwellers, those who had the name of Pashupati were those who were able to communicate and deal with and manage animals. And this later, of course, came to include domesticated animals. This important name of Shiva doesn't have a mantra associated with it, but it is important because it includes some of the early shamanistic practices with which Shiva became associated. Over the centuries, Pashupati became transformed into another great name of Shiva, Mahadeva, the great god. It is said that Mahadeva is the one that brought the use of herbs for healing into proper usage, from which the science then of natural remedies developed. And the mantra associated with Mahadeva is his name in a sense. Om Mahadevaya Namaha. Om Mahadevaya Namaha. Om Mahadevaya Namaha. So if you feel an interest in herbology or the natural sciences, this is a mantra that will help expand your consciousness into those areas. Esoterically, it will also help expand your heart center. The next two names of Shiva, Lingaraj and Nataraj, have a mantra that is commonly associated with both of them. Lingaraj means the masculine and feminine principles conjoined, and they're represented both in an inert conjoining and an active manifestation. There is a symbol which shows the joining of a phallic symbol and a feminine symbol, and this is called a lingam. And those who worship Shiva understand that this shows the androgynous form of Shiva as the two of them are together. So it's important for us to understand that even though Shiva is represented as part of the masculine trinity, Shivites really understand the function of Shiva as androgynous. One of the more common forms of Shiva that we see in the world at large is this figure dancing with four arms surrounded by a circle of flames. Narrow waist, broad shoulders again show the androgynous form. This is Nataraja, Nataraja, the dance of Shiva at the dissolution of the universe in preparation for the new cycle. So it's really a dance of celebration because the universe has evolved to a point where it is about to undergo a change of state, spiritually speaking. And the mantra for both Lingaraj, the symbol, and Nataraj, the active dancing Shiva, is Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Now this is the most famous mantra of Shiva in the West. People who have heard of Shiva may have heard of this mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. its effect is to awaken and transform the principles that govern the chakras. We talk about the major chakras located along the spine, and each chakra is governed by a principle, starting at the base of the spine and moving up. Earth at 1, water at 2, fire at 3, air at 4, ether at 5, and then finally mind at 6. These are the governing elements or principles. And the 7th chakra at the top of the head, as you will recall, is beyond any of these categories. The mantra Om Namah Shivaya takes the first 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and begins to activate the principles within those chakras so that they come under our conscious control. Now that's an interesting concept. This is a mantra that is used on what is called the Siddha path. And you may remember me speaking before about something called perfection of the divine vehicle. Perfection of the divine vehicle. That is our bodies, the consciousness, the piece of flame are contained within our bodies. And yet our bodies are composed of these elements. But if we grow spiritually, all of these elements come under our control. And in fact, there are great figures throughout religious history that demonstrate such mastery. Most recently, we have Moses going up the mountain and meeting what? Fire, fire, fire. So Moses is at the point where he is working on the 3rd chakra. He has mastered the first 2 elements. There is ample evidence of this. When he is in Egypt, Pharaoh tells the sorcerers to defeat him, the court magicians. They throw down their staffs and they turn into serpents. You remember this well. Moses does what? He throws down his staff, which also turns into a serpent, and it consumes the other 2 serpents. Symbolically, the staff is the spine. And he is demonstrating that his kundalini has moved to a superior position, and his spiritual evolution is greater than that of the court magicians. He is an adept. We see other evidence of this. Jesus walking upon the water, showing mastery of the watery principle. Again, when he calms the winds, he shows his mastery of the principle of air. He also says to his disciples, "And greater things shall you do." And I am of the opinion that he's talking not just to his disciples, but to all of us. Those who follow the path of perfection of the divine vehicle certainly accept all of this as part of their divine spiritual heritage. And working with the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, they will achieve mastery over the elements as part of their journey of perfection of the divine vehicle. Another name of Shiva is Yogaraj. Oh boy, here Shiva is represented as a naked ascetic seeker after truth. He is often shown with eyes closed, sitting in a meditative pose. And he sits upon a tiger skin, which demonstrates 2 things. First, his animal nature is under his complete conscious control. Another reason for the tiger skin is that skins of the tiger as well as the deer neutralize sudden earth vibrations, which then allow the kundalini to move more easily up the spine. So you will find that people in the East who do a lot of meditation will sit on a tiger skin or a deer skin or a wool blanket, because wool also has some of the properties that neutralize the natural vibrations of the earth so that the kundalini moves more quickly up the spine. Now, Shiva is also more closely associated with the legendary 3rd eye of consciousness. The eye of Shiva is said to reduce any object to ashes by a mere glance with such intention. In the Kurma Purana, Shiva says of himself, "I am the liberator here of yogis from all worldly bondage." Yogis here meaning those who meditate. "I am the cause as well as the effect of worldly existence, and I am bereft of all worldly ties. I alone am the annihilator, creator, and protector of this divine universe, and Shakti is my potency." There is no mantra associated with Yogaraj, but it's important to remember that as we develop spiritually, we will encounter spiritual abilities. They say they come and roll like gems at the feet of the person who meditates. They are like fruit that fall at your feet, but the object is not to gather the fruit, but to climb to the top of the tree. Next we have Augada. Augada. What a name. Augada. Augada means the uncouth. This aspect of consciousness revels in those things which alter the consciousness while living a separate existence. This aspect of Shiva drinks wine and is often depicted as drunk. He dances. He engages in the smoking of marijuana called ganja. And if you go in the north of India, you will find worshippers of Shiva who smoke the ganja that grows along the road. Other worshippers of Shiva say that those individuals have taken the perverse path. Yet it is also said that because it has an effect upon consciousness, eventually the principle of consciousness utterly seduces these people as well, and they move beyond ganja and into higher and higher states of consciousness through the worship of Shiva. The next name of Shiva is Mahakala, or the Lord of Time. This shows Shiva as ruthless as time itself. At once the past, present, and future of all consciousness. He's involved in the birth and death of all beings. And as we know, living in the finite world, there is nothing more ravenous to us than time. Yet also there is compassion. And there's a story that we'll tell later when we discuss healing mantras about a 16-year-old master named Markandeya who received a favor from Shiva that liberated him from the necessity of birth and death. The mantra that most closely associates with Shiva as the Lord of Time is one we discussed earlier when we were talking a little bit about Tibetan Buddhism, and that is the Kala Chakra mantra. Kala meaning time, chakra meaning wheel. I won't go back over that ground, but I will chant the mantra for you again. Om Haksa Malavarayam Swaha. Om Haksa Malavarayam Swaha. Om Haksa Malavarayam Swaha. Om Haksa Malavarayam Swaha. So those who want to master the phenomenon of time at this chakra located just below the throat chakra, and those who want to move to the city of Shambhala in their next birth will chant the mantra, Om Haksa Malavarayam Swaha. Another joyful name of Shiva is Shankar or Shambhu, he who gives happiness. Sham means welfare or happiness and includes even health as part of that. Kar means one who brings it, and Bhu is a name for the earth plane. So that's how you have Shambhu or Shankar. This particular aspect of Shiva is said to be most kind, generous, and easily pleased with a little attention, and can bestow impossible favors. There's the story of a woman who worked with the mantra, Om Shankaraya Namaha. Om Shankaraya Namaha. Om Shankaraya Namaha. Now, she was very poor, and she worked at a local Shiva temple. And her job was to clean the temple. And she would dust and use those brooms bending over from the waist to clear away the dust. Well, one day after she'd been there several years, she noticed that the in the holiest of holies place in the temple, where the Shiva Lingam was, that there was a piece of soil on the Lingam. Now, it was only 15 minutes before the priests would come and do their service, and she had nothing at hand in which to clean the Lingam with. So, she took a piece of her skirt, she spit upon the Lingam, and cleaned it off. What she didn't know was that somebody coming early had spied her and saw it as a great sacrilege. "What do you mean?" the person said to themselves, "spitting on the Lingam of Shiva." Shortly the priests arrived, and the person who had witnessed the spitting ran up to the priests and told of the terrible deed done by this holy woman, who was still sitting in a corner waiting for the service to begin and chanting, "Om Shankaraya Namaha, Om Shankaraya Namaha, Om Shankaraya Namaha." Now this fellow was very loud in his accusations of the sacrilege that she had committed, and a crowd began to gather, and when they heard, they called for her to be stoned, that no one should enter the Holy of Holies, and let alone spit upon the Shiva Lingam. So as they all stood there, the priests were in a quandary. They had to serve the people, and this particular group of priests was not as strong as some others might have been. So they said, "Well, you may throw your stones, don't kill her. You may make her unconscious and teach her a lesson that way." So they throw the stones and make her unconscious, but unfortunately, one stone hit her in the head, and she dropped dead. Suddenly, from over the Lingam, a figure appeared, matted locks, crescent moon on the forehead, and he spoke. "Those of you who come every day to worship me at this temple do not have even a tenth part of the devotion of this woman. She saw a spot upon the Lingam, and using the only means at her disposal, she sought to purify and clean it. And although all of you may have many lifetimes before you achieve final liberation, due to her devotion, I hereby liberate her here and now. Learn well from this lesson." So, the lesson of the story, of course, is we should not judge. Sometimes we think we know when we don't know anything at all. Another thing to learn from the story is the compassion of Shiva through the mantra, "Om Shankaraya Namaha, Om Shankaraya Namaha." So Shankar, the giver of happiness, Om Shankaraya Namaha. Because Shang is welfare and happiness, and Bu is the earth plane, there is another mantra associated with the giver of happiness, and that is Om Shambhu Devaya Namaha, Om Shambhu Devaya Namaha, Om Shambhu Devaya Namaha. Devaya in this sense means the angel who bestows the happiness, that angel who is he who bestows happiness even on this earth, Shambhu Deva. To proceed with our own evolution of consciousness, we must open ever-increasing areas of compassion with our understanding. These mantras will imbue our expanding consciousness with the ingredient of compassion, so that we will not judge, and we'll be able to separate that which we know from that which we think we know. So you do this mantra not only to receive some blessing, but to imbue your evolving consciousness with a sense of dynamic compassion. As we grow in consciousness, we grow in knowledge and in power. And this aspect of Shiva is called Mahesh or Maheshwara, that being which knows and has all power. In this aspect, the mythological form of Shiva prodded the mythological form of Brahma to reveal the scriptures which explain how the universe functions. As we grow in consciousness, we come to understand the nature of the universe in all of its dimensions, and knowledge, as we all know, is power. So if you want to have knowledge and wisdom and power combined in one, the mantra for you is the Mahesh mantra. Om Maheshwaraya Namaha. Om Maheshwaraya Namaha. Om Maheshwaraya Namaha. There is another name of Shiva, a minor name, but we'll note it in passing, called Bhuteshwara. Bhuteshwara, the Lord of baser beings. This means that even on this earth plane, even in rocks and trees, even in disembodied spirits, wherever there is consciousness, however dim it may be, Shiva exists. And when we achieve the union of Shakti at the bottom of the spine with ever-increasing levels of consciousness as we move up the spine, we will understand that consciousness exists in all things. Now, in the representations of Shiva, he's shown sitting upon a bull. His weapon is the trident that has three prongs. One prong represents past, middle represents present, and the other side represents future. One of his attributes is Hara. Hara means one who removes anything standing in the way of our advancement. So one of the praises of Shiva is Hara Hara Mahadev. Salutations to that great being who removes anything standing in our path. He's also known as Gangadhara. Gangadhara. One who carries the Ganges. The Ganges, esoterically speaking, is again the spine, wherein the spiritual energy, represented by the Ganges, flows in the spine as our consciousness expands, life upon life upon life. In the world today, we see consciousness increasing before our very eyes. You know, as we read the newspapers and look at television, we see that issues of human want and misery are much more widely recognized and known than they were even 20 years ago. This represents an expansion of consciousness. The women's movement has advanced the cause of women, first in the right to vote and own property, and today we find them moving at all levels of government and business. And this is an expansion of consciousness as we have overcome holding down one segment of humanity. It is also my view as I see the children that the youngsters coming in and being born today are so conscious and aware, certainly much more so, it seems to me, than the children when I was young. Another aspect of consciousness is a rising in ethnic pride and retention of the roots of culture. We want to have pride in where we came from and what our ancestral roots were and what our cultural manifestations were. This is all a function of increasing consciousness. Finally, the arrival of the teachers from the East, from India and Tibet, have fostered literally a revolution in the idea of consciousness in the Western world. And the easiest way to approach this understanding of consciousness is through Shiva. So when you hear someone say, "Oh yes, I know Shiva, he's the great destroyer," take a moment and say, "Well, not really. Shiva is the great spiritualizer. It is the Shiva energy that eventually helps us evolve beyond this material universe in even our own material bodies. So while the universe seems to be destroyed, it is actually transcending to a higher state." Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Now Shiva, when uniting with Parvati, his feminine Shakti, Parameshwari, the universe is born. And when the universe is born, there are two suns, as they say. One is Skanda, Subramanyam, the other is Ganesha. I'll talk about Skanda first and then Ganesha. Skanda is the auspiciousness which accompanies consciousness. That is to say, to be conscious is not neutral. We have evolved compassion. We have evolved understanding. We have evolved knowledge. And therefore, our consciousness is charged with a quality of auspiciousness that makes everything right and everything bright. And there is a mantra associated with this son of Shiva and Parvati that is the closest I have ever found to a good luck mantra. I'll chant it for you now. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. The figurative meaning is salutations to the son of Shiva who brings auspiciousness in every endeavor. I encourage you, if you want to bring good luck to any endeavor, to work with this mantra. You will be amazed at what begins to happen. The other son of Shiva and Parvati is much more well known, particularly to children, and this is Ganesha that we talked about earlier. In any Vedic ceremony, one of the very first mantras you will hear is Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha, or Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha, where Ganesha, as you will recall, Gana Isha, group ruler, Gana Pati, spouse of power or spouse of the group. In this case, people are gathering for a ceremony and you want to unify the group because Ganesha is the great unifier. As the ruler of a group, it runs from the submicroscopic to the extra systemic. Let me give you an example. When we have a hydrogen molecule, we have the electron and we have the nucleus, two particles. Whenever two or more are there, the Ganesha principle is there to form a sense of unity. When the atoms then form molecules, we have more than one atom to form a molecule, Ganesha principle is there. In us, all of the molecules may form an organ. We have the liver and the spleen and different organs. So there we have an organ composed of many separate parts. The Ganesha principle is there. We have organs that then are part of a larger system, reproductive system, cardiovascular system, endocrine system. Organs all working in a different stage of a single process. The Ganesha principle of unity works there as well. It works in the solar system. We have planets that compose something we call the solar system. The Ganesha principle is there. In the mythological sense, then, Ganesha is shown as the principle of unity of this universe and is said to have two principal aspects to his power or Shakti. Those are Siddhi, that is, the ability to accomplish, and Buddhi, the wisdom to know how to accomplish. So we have the power to accomplish and the knowledge to accomplish. In that sense, they would say that Ganesha is the great unifying principle of this whole universe and as such deserves to be worshipped first. There is a mythological story about how Ganesha came to be worshipped first. Here it is. Shiva and Parvati are sitting with the various gods and goddesses one day when ceremonies are being developed on Earth. And so the gods and goddesses say, well, we have to pick one among us who's first. If there are going to be these ceremonies and there's going to be orders to things, we have to have someone who's first. And Shiva says to Parvati, well, why don't we have a race around the universe? You and I as mom and pop, we'll just sort of observe things and we'll judge. And all you kids just take a race around the universe, and whoever goes around the universe three times, the fastest, is the winner. Now, as you know, all of the celestials have their mount. Subramanyam has the peacock, Vishnu has the eagle, and Ganesha's vehicle is the rat. So they line up at the starting line, and they all take off. Well, in the blink of an eye, everybody is out of sight except Ganesha. Here he is, this huge guy, riding on this little tiny rat. He goes about 10 steps, and he stops, and he says, this is ridiculous. I haven't got a chance in this race. Shiva says, use your head, boy. You have wisdom. Use it. Ganesha thinks for a minute. He still can't get it. So he loves his mother. He decides he's going to go ride his rat over and stand beside his mother as the race goes on. So as he rides towards his mother, Shiva says, "Aha, the boy's got it." Well, Ganesha stops for a second. "I've got it? What have I got?" Finally, it dawns upon him, and he rides his rat over and lumbers around his mother three times. Soon, some of the other celestials finish their race and come panting in one by one, and Shiva has a crown, and he's about to place it on Ganesha's head. And there is great uproar and discussion. "He didn't pass me. Did he pass you? Fix, fix. This race isn't a fair race." So finally Shiva says, "All right, Ganesha, explain to them why you are the winner." Ganesha, with joined palms, says, "This whole universe is the body of my divine mother. All of the energy held in configuration is this whole universe. Thus, by going around my own mother three times, I have traversed this entire universe three times." And all the celestials nodded their head and knew that he was correct. And from that day forward, in any ceremony, you will find Ganesha mantras among the very first mantra chanted, no matter what kind of ceremony is performed. The vehicle of Ganesha is the rat. The rat stands for the ego. We all have an ego moving around inside of us, but it has a very noble higher vibration if we chant the mantra, "Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha." For that ego which is lowly can also achieve the highest state of consciousness by unifying everything within and becoming one-pointed. And the mantra to achieve that, "Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha. Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha." And on the way to achieving that unity, all barriers and obstacles are removed. If you have an obstacle in your path in your life, I encourage you chant, "Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha," and that obstacle will move aside. It will disappear. So now that we have covered the great masculine trinity and the great feminine trinity, let's move on to some of the problems that you and I confront in our daily life. And one of the most important of these is healing. Healing of physical difficulties and agonies that come to us. In the next chapter, we'll talk about mantras that can help us heal.